let's look into what's being done now to build environmentally sympathetic homes. In a number of countries, proposals that from 2016 new buildings should be sustainable have been watered down or scrapped. But one development in Cambridge is sticking to its guns anyway, and Emma Sackville went on site to speak to construction director Gavin Heapy.
We are recycling water. We are generating our electricity and heat through our energy centre, which centralises the production of electricity and hot water across the whole of the development for all 3,000 homes. We're generating electricity through photovoltaic cells. But what we're also doing to achieve that is ensuring that we reduce our carbon footprint both in the construction of the homes, but also in the materials and also the performance of the homes when they're in full use.
And we've got this energy centre behind us, is that right? So it's a sort of tall grey building. How's it going to function?
So within that building, there are different ways of both generating electricity and heat. In the initial phases where the whole project is very much heat-led, so we've got more demand on heat rather than the electricity, we use boilers. So the centralised boilers then pump hot water around the development. And then as the development requires more in the way of electricity, we'll start generating electricity with engines.
This system is known as combined heat and power, or CHP. And by centralising the boilers, not only do they make it more efficient over the whole site, they can also use the waste heat from the engines to power the boilers. And Gavin reckons it could all add up to an overall energy saving of up to 40%. Building on this kind of level is quite a big ask. What have you been your main challenges and stumbling blocks when you've been trying to achieve it?
The main stumbling blocks have been to do with finding the best people to deliver these projects. Not everybody has done anything at this scale before. So finding the right resources, both in terms of the management team, but also the contractors and their subcontractors as well. And also making sure that we keep a close eye on how that performance is working on site.
And obviously there's a higher cost associated with building something sustainably. How are you balancing off the cost with the trade-off of making a sustainable housing?
Well, ultimately, if it's sustainable, it also means it's going to be more cost-effective to run during its operational phase. So we're actually making an early investment in sustainable development to ensure that what we have to manage for the next 50 to 100 years on this development is actually more cost-effective in the long run. So lower energy bills, less maintenance, if you like, and so on. We'll reap the benefits of it in the long term.
Oh, I've lost my hat. Once I had retrieved my hat, I wanted to find out a little bit more about their water recycling plans. Water management and recycling is a major consideration when planning sustainable housing, because at the moment we use completely clean, drinkable water and essentially flush it down the toilet. There's an option to recycle so-called grey water, which is any used water that hasn't been down the loo with all the associated extras. We could use this for things like flushing the toilet or watering plants, basically anywhere that we don't need to drink it. We headed over to the water management part of the development for Gavin to tell me a little bit more about what they were doing on this site. So at the moment we're here by this very lovely, surprisingly lovely lake actually. What's the lake doing here? What's it part of on this site?
So the lake's part of our water recycling system, but also has other uses as well. If you like, the whole water attenuation and recycling system we have across the site has many purposes. The lake actually retains water on the site. So as you can imagine, a site of 150 hectares has an awful lot of water falling on it when it rains, and we need to deal with all that water. So what we've done is by attenuating the water on site, we are alleviating flood risk. That water gets recycled, and there are two water networks across the whole of our site, a normal, not potable water network you get from your normal supplier, so Cambridge Water around this area, and then there is a second network that was used for irrigation, for toilet flushing, and also now for washing machines as well.
So you've got two different kinds of water going on.
Yeah. I think water recycling has been around for many years, hundreds of years, but what we're doing here is doing it collectively, if you like. The whole system is feeding the whole site, so you're not reliant on individuals collecting the water themselves. This is being done centrally, and it's the first time it's been done at this sort of scale. The lake also provides amenity both for the public, people, as you've just said, you quite like the look of the lake. It's a very nice place to be. Hopefully when the sun's out a bit later on in the year, it'll be even nicer. But on top of that, it also creates habitat for wildlife too.
And speaking of wildlife, one of the things that I found really surprising on site was the commitment to ensuring that their impact on the local environment was neutral?
So throughout the delivery of the project, we've had to look after great crested newts. So in the area immediately in front of us here, there's a large pond just beyond those bushes there. The small green fences you see are how we control the movement of the newts to ensure that they don't get out into the wider site and get squashed, putting it bluntly. And we're standing at the moment right on top of our newt tunnel. And this tunnel is of a reasonable size and will allow the little gems to migrate between the ponds and ensure that they don't get hurt in that process.
Well, that's a good newts story, isn't it, if ever I heard one. Gavin Heapy there, construction director for the North West Cambridge development site.
And fresh off the building site, Emma Sackville has come to join us in the studio. Emma, what are the downsides to a project like this?
Well, there are actually a couple. They don't have direct transport links. So the development site is quite far out of the town, which means that if people need to come in and out of town to work and they drive, that increased carbon dioxide output could have a negative effect on the whole building site. As we've heard so far, technology is moving quite quickly in this area as well. So it could be that the things they've already got in place might become out of date. Another potential problem is that they're actually building the site on greenfield land, which could be used for other environmental purposes. And actually, they're finding it fairly difficult to stay on budget because building this kind of thing on this kind of scale is pretty tricky.
So is this the model for future developments then?
Well, it's probably one of them, but it's not the only way to do it.